Catriona, absorbed into Sigrana's great weave of being, drifting in the under-periphery of that enigmatic colloquy with the Zyrodin, had recognised Julia's image among the outer splinters and heard whispers as redolent of hope as they were of fear. She had tried piecing the fragments together with frail webs of conjecture, but it was only after she had returned from leading Greg off-world that she had gathered enough slivers to provide a halfway coherent picture. And despite the lack of detail, the implications were staggering. Talavera held Julia's life in the balance, yet there was some other terrible motivation binding them together. Julia was also linked to Earth, a connection that would determine the fate of both Greg and Darian. Julia's own survival was uncertain, but there was an end point, a barely discernible convergence of colossal forces, a focus shared between Sigrana and somewhere else, out among the stars. Catriona let the web of conjecture unravel and the premonition faded. So much was uncertain. So much of it consisted of gaps bridged by speculation of her own making. This was the classic researcher's mistake, impressing one's own expectations upon dataless voids. Indeed, it was possible that either Sigrana or the Zyrodin were committing the same sin, causing those hints of disagreement. One thing was certain, however. In the space between Niviesta and Darian, Greg was about to set out on a wild plunge into chaos and mortal danger.
"And if I'd explained it to ye, I'm not sure ye wouldn't still have got on that ship."
Chapter 3. Cao Chi. Webbed into his couch, Cao Chi was cushioned against the worst of the jolting descent into Pyre's atmosphere. The roar of the Vox Humana vessel's engines was muted by the close-fitting helmet that the squad commander had insisted he wear. While donning the body armour earlier, he had noticed a faint residual odour from the last wearer, stale sweat oddly mingled with herbs, which made him wonder how the armour would smell to its next user. Now, sitting in the vibrating couch, he caught the occasional hint of it and found it strangely comforting. A hazardous task lay ahead, the wholesale evacuation of the remnants of the human colony on Pyre, kinsfolk by distant relation, but they were still his people. With backing from the Raug and the Vox Humana, he would forestall any possible reprisals that the hegemony or its proxies might inflict on these defenceless colonists. The Marauder vessel's troop compartment had couches for 32, but only half were in use, 8 facing 8. The rest had been removed to make way for comm consoles and an array of displays. Cao Chi's couch was 3 along from the deployment hatch, and all around him the Vox Humana troopers were muttering to each other on the squad net. His own helmet was isolated from the rest, with a link currently silent, to the squad commander, Captain Kubachik. For now, Cao Chi spent the time glancing at the others, noting their expressions of dour reflection or good humour or relaxed disinterest. Then Kubachik's voice spoke in his ear.
"Envoy Cao Chi, can you hear me, sir?"
Automatically he looked at the captain who was sitting next to the hatch.
"Yes, I can hear you perfectly,"